Welcome back to the program. I'm Damien Williams. The federal court case into the nomination of Muckaty as the site of a proposed nuclear waste dump has been adjourned and will now move up to Darwin to take evidence from the Northern Land Council. Peter Gibson from the Jumbunna Indigenous House of Learning is following the trial and he joins us this morning. Peter Gibson, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Patty, if you could give us a rundown on what's happened so far.
Damien. Well, actually, the court is now adjourned. The last sitting that we were a part of was on Saturday. The judge travelled again out to the Muckaty Land Trust. There's an outstation there right near a sacred site, Manawangu, where the local people here danced, actually, for the judge. To make sure that he was aware that they are strong cultural people who have connections to this land, to thank him for actually coming to country to hear from the elders directly and from other Aboriginal people that are opposing this nuclear waste dump on their land. And it was actually a crucial day of evidence because we heard from a very senior Wolmut man, Dick Foster, who the Northern Land Council were actually relying on Dick's knowledge about who owns this country and how responsibility for country actually works at Muckaty. In their early nomination, they actually use Mr. Foster's name and say that it's because of what he said about who traditional owners are actually on Muckaty that they made that nomination. Whereas Dick has been crystal clear right back from 2007 that the NLC are relying on the wrong ideas, that they can't go ahead with this idea that small piece of Muckaty just belongs to one small family group and that it's all right for that family group to sell that land for a nuclear waste dump. Dick is clear that he was, you know, pleading with anthropologists, really, you know, making it quite clear that the anthropology that they were relying on was incorrect, that they needed to actually slow the process down right back in 2007, that they needed to take their time to hear from all of the clan groups to encourage some proper discussion among all the clan groups at Muckaty about how decisions would be made for that small piece of land. But, you know, Dick, as he's argued in his evidence, he's been very, very frustrated by the treatment by the Northern Land Council and the government, who just forged ahead in 2007, far too quickly, according to Mr. Foster, made this nomination, sold Muckaty out from underneath the traditional owners for a nuclear waste dump. So his evidence was absolutely crucial in terms of saying that they're relying on the wrong stories for that place, and the process that they went through was far, far too rushed. There was far too much pressure. Dick made it clear that having government officials and NLC officials present in those early days, there was a lot of pressure on senior people such as himself to basically do this deal within the space of a few short months. And he said it was not acceptable, really, for a consultation process to happen like that. So that evidence was very, very significant. There is no one in this case who is questioning the cultural authority and knowledge of Mr. Foster. You know, Mr. Foster says that he's not a traditional owner himself for that particular little piece of land that's been nominated, but everyone knows that it's his knowledge, you know, which is the actual clearest in terms of the line back to the old people, you know, and what they say about the land around Muckaty. So it was a very, very important day, and, you know, the NLC and the government really should back off now. They really should listen to these people. It's been too long that people have been saying, you've got it wrong, you're rushing us, you're putting too much pressure on us, back off and withdraw that nomination. The other point I'd just make about the evidence that came out when we were on country and that came out in the courtroom all through this week is that people have not been told the real story. When that deal was done back in 2007, Aboriginal people, even the people who nominated the land, had no idea really about the true nature of what the government was proposing. They were never told. There is no evidence that anyone was ever told that there could be accidents. You know, the government in its own legislation outlines what will happen if there's a nuclear accident, if there's a spill on that land. They outline who will be responsible, who will have to pay, you know, financially, any compensation. Those sorts of questions about accidents, the government knows that's a reality, that could happen. They've got it in their own legislation. But never did any Commonwealth official actually explain to the people that there is possibility that there could be an accident, that it would be a devastating accident, and that this is who will have responsibility if such an accident occurs. People were never really properly informed, never informed, that they may lose their land forever. There's provisions in this legislation which make it clear that if the land actually gets contaminated, the government's going to hold on to it potentially for all time. There is no guarantee that people will get their land back. They're trying to say that this will be a temporary facility, that it'll only stay there for 200 years. I mean, 200 years, you know, more than a lifetime. It's many, many lifetimes. But the government is saying, oh, look, we're only going to have this for 200 years. But in that deal, right in the deal and in the legislation itself, there are provisions which would allow them to hold on to that land forever. And that was never properly explained to any traditional owners through the consultation process. That much is clear from the evidence that has come out. So, you know, we're just getting a picture. As more and more of this evidence comes through, we're getting a picture of the atmosphere that existed back in 2007 when this nomination was made. It was one where there was an enormous amount of pressure being put on traditional owners to make a decision. It's one where they were relying on flawed anthropology that was rushed through in order to be able to do a deal, and it was one where traditional owners' rights were being taken away from them, systematically stripped away from them, and there was never any acknowledgement or explanation to those Aboriginal people about what they were actually getting themselves in for agreeing to this nuclear waste dump. So it's a very, very strong case that's coming now from the people that are opposed to the nuclear waste dump. You know, it's quite shocking, really, to learn about how the government and the Land Council have actually treated people through this process. And the evidence is now wound up in Tennant Creek and out on country at Muckaty. There won't be any more evidence now. The court's getting ready and preparing for a trip to Darwin to hear from the other side, to hear from the Northern Land Council and the Commonwealth themselves. They'll be subject to the same cross-examination that the Aboriginal people had to go through here in Muckaty and Tennant Creek. It's time now for, you know, the focus and the attention to stick to the Northern Land Council and the Commonwealth when their officers actually have to stand up, you know, and give evidence in the box in Darwin.
And, Paddy, so how are traditional owners feeling about getting the chance to give their evidence and having the court listen to them?
Well, look, people are very, very happy, you know, with what they've achieved, and they should be very, very proud with what they've achieved. They have been so strong, so articulate, you know, and they've stood up to these Northern Land Council and Commonwealth barristers. You know, it's a very intimidating thing to be in a courtroom and have barristers, you know, non-Indigenous, very highly paid, very well-educated people attacking you, essentially, in the witness stand. But these people, these Wallnapper people, they have stood their ground and they have said, you know, you have treated us appallingly. We don't want this nomination to go forward. Some of them were cross-examined for 3 hours. They were there for 3 hours getting, you know, trying to be tricked up and trying to be tricked by the words from the Northern Land Council and the Commonwealth Government lawyers, but they held their ground and they are very pleased, you know, that they feel the truth has come out about how this nomination all went down back in 2007. I heard a few people say they're really glad that they've got that off their chest. You know, they've put their story out there. But really, we shouldn't be here. You know, if the Northern Land Council was doing its job back in 2007, it would have never made this nomination. It would have listened to these people then. And we've had to go through 7 years of heartache, pain, stress. So many people have got sick. Very sadly, many people have passed away. There are a lot of people who are not here today to be able to give evidence about how they were treated because they've passed away since this nomination was put in, you know. It's a very sad, stressful thing that's happened to this community, but they've got the momentum now. They're feeling very, very strong, and people are looking forward to the hearings continuing up there in Darwin where we can put the pressure on the NLC and the government.
Peter Gibson, thanks very much for having a chat with us here at Calm Radio.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's great people are continuing to follow this important case.